of a person or what? His good deeds. Because your human physical children, they leave the person at the cemetery. Then they go to the lawyer's office to fight over the will. But your spiritual children, your Maisim Tovim, they never leave you. They accompany you to Olam Haba. So a person's real, genuine, eternal children are his good deeds. So he never feels like he really died. He lives on through his good deeds, through the influence, the positive values that he instilled into his children or friends. A person's students become his real eternal children. The Maharami Prague takes it a step further. Why are a person's good deeds his eternal children? Rashi says, Eila told us Noach. The Torah says, these are the children of Noach. What are the children of Noach? Noach ish tzaddik. The children of Noach or any righteous person are his good deeds. Why? Says Maral, because human children are a gift of God. Children are a gift. I had nothing to do with it. Hashem gave it to me. Many times a person can get pregnant. It's a gift. Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz me'ir ha-shemayim. Everything is in the hands of God. How many children you'll have, when you'll have them, that's all in God's hands. We have to try. The only thing that's left up to us entirely is what? The fear of God. So the Maharami Prague said that's what Rashi means. The ikar children of a person are his good deeds. That's really his, because his physical children are not really his. It's a gift from Hashem. What's truly mine? My good deeds. Hashem had nothing to do with that. Hakol b'dei shemayim, chutz me'ir ha-shemayim. So a person's good deeds are really his own creation. That he got on his own. Unlike physical children, which is what? A gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the secret of overcoming the fear of death, to be a person, a chava person, yechava dat, to teach, and remember, to teach, you don't have to have a classroom. You can teach without a classroom, without a book, by being a positive influence on your friends and neighbors. Teach by what, Alfie? By behavior. By example, by proper conduct and behavior, you don't need a book. We're teaching all the time and we don't even know it. We can teach positive, but chas v'sholom what, negative. Children are very observant, you know. The parents tell the kid, do your homework, do your homework, do your homework, right? And the parents sit in front of the idiot's box and they tell the kids to do the homework. Why should the kid do the homework when the father, instead of going to a shear, watches the tube? So he's teaching whether he knows it or not. So that's the secret of Yechavedat, a Chava person. This is the way to overcome the fear of death. Mazaroi b'chayim, afhu b'chayim. So we influence others for the good, then we live on through them. So even when a person's in the afterlife, he feels like he's still part of the person that he influenced, and he lives on through them. So therefore, he only names his wife after the sin. Because before the sin, it wasn't necessary, right, Verna? It wasn't necessary. After the sin, when death was pronounced, he had to call a chava.
Why didn't she name herself chava? Why did he have to give her a name?
Why did he name her? Vayikra Adam Shem Ishto Chava. He named her because he was responsible for bringing death to the world. Right? Remember, he misled her. He didn't give her the right information about the tree. He also told her, don't touch it. And the snake pushed her against the tree, remember? He had to give the tikkun. He brought the chet. So he had to give the tikkun. The tikkun is contained in her name. Chava, Yechavedat, by influence and communicating and teaching others knowledge of God. That's the way you overcome the fear of death. So since Adam brought death to the world, it's called the sin of Adam, not the sin of Chava. He misled her. So therefore, Alfie, you do the crime, you do the time. So therefore, he did the chet, and he has to do the tikkun, and the tikkun is naming his wife Chava.
So what was her name before?
Now? She had no name. Isha. Hey, woman, come here. Hey, Bible.
He also didn't communicate with her before. Had he communicated everything?
That's true, too. The Zohar says something amazing. Why did she sin? I'm not making this up. The Zohar said because after they had marital relations, he turned over and went to sleep. So 2,000 years before Master and Johnson, the Zohar spoke already about after play. I'm not making this up. I'm not making this up. 2,000 years before Master and Johnson, the Zohar says after they did the marital act, he just rolled over and went to sleep. No lovey-dovey talk. She felt used. And she felt abused, and therefore she was opened up to the wile and the guile of what?
Snake.
Of
and maybe
the serpent.
That's why
you
had
snake
to
in the grass.
That's why he had to name her Chava.
So by naming her Chava, that's the tikkun.
And it's
to overcome the fear of death, Yechava Dav, to be a Chava person. Isn't that amazing?
And it's teaching the world that they have to communicate.
Rabbi?
Exactly. Yeah. Not to neglect your wife.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. What?
Rabbi?
Yes, sir.
Isn't it true that at some point the snake had legs and actually attempted to rape Chava?
Well, according to the Gemara in Shabbos, he actually had intercourse with her. It's a wild Gemara Masechta to Shabbos. Remember Rosemary's baby? Now, you have to remember that he didn't look like a snake.
He had legs.
He looked like a lounge singer. You know, with the open shirt and the golden chai. He didn't look like a snake. He looked like a lounge singer. You know, with the jewelry and the open shirt, the hairy chest. I'm not making this up. That's what he looked like. He looked human. And he seduced her. She felt rejected, used by her husband. So looking for love in all the wrong places. So she was open. And the Zohar says this. And the Gemara in Shabbos says this. That actually he had relations with her. He seduced her. What happened? He was a real snake. Gemara and Shabbos. Why? And the Zohar says that Cain was actually the offspring of the snake. And therefore, he was a real beast that he killed his own brother. That Cain was the offspring of the snake and Chava, and therefore he had this rage in him. This cruelty, the callousness to kill his own brother.
The animalistic.
Right? Yeah, Hevel was the son of Adam and Chava, but Cain was actually conceived by through the act of the snake. Okay. And so after this terrible sin, now it says when Adam and Chava ate of the forbidden tree, right? They made for themselves fig leaves, right? The latest fashion.
Yeah.
So they were already clothed.
Hashem clothed.
So why did Hashem have to clothe them? Don't steal my thunder. They already had fig leaves. It says in Genesis 3, verse 6, verse 7. Genesis 3, verse 7. Vatipekacht einishneim, vayedu ki arumim hein, they knew they were naked. And they sewed for themselves fig leaves. And they were clothed. That's what it says in Genesis 3, verse 7. So the $64 question is, why does it say in Genesis 3, verse 21, Genesis 3, verse 21, Vayas Hashem Elokim la'adam le'ishto kosnas or. God made for them jackets of skin, Vayalbishem, and he clothed them. They were already clothed, the latest fashion, fig leaf dress. So why was it necessary that God has to make for them what? Kusnat or jackets of
leather
skin, like the Fonz jacket, remember the Fonzie jacket? Leather jacket. And then it says, Vayalbishem, and he dressed them. Adam and Chava dressed themselves fine with the fig leaves. Why was it necessary, A, for God to make them leather jackets, and B, for what? Vayalbishem. What does Vayalbishem mean? He dressed them. They were 20 years old when they were created. Avram, they didn't need to be dressed.
But the fig leaves would wear out.
But they didn't. It's just a 5 minutes later.
Maybe it wasn't sneered.
But they were covered. So the Zohar says something incredible. It says, Kosnas Or. God made for them Kosnas Or, which means what? Skin jackets, right? But the word Or can also be spelled
like light.
Light. Or with an ayin, it's pronounced the same way, means skin jackets, but with an aleph means light. So the Medrash and the Zohar say, even though it's written with an ayin, it should be read with an aleph. God made for them jackets of light. What does that mean? Sitting down for this. Physically, they were clothed.
Yeah.
Their body was clothed, but their soul was naked. They had one mitzvah. The neshama felt ashamed. The body was clothed with fig leaf, but the soul was naked. Because it had one mitzvah and it couldn't keep that. So God made for the neshama a spiritual jacket of light to clothe the nakedness of the soul. They all be shame. What do you mean he dressed them? Okay. They were 20 years old. They dressed themselves fine in the fig leaves. So the Zohar says something amazing. When you dress somebody, you have to what?
Oh,
hug them. God embraced them. After the sin, they had remorse. God lovingly and tenderly what? Embraced them. Because when you dress somebody, you have to what? Huggy, huggy. When you dress somebody, you have to hug him. So the message of the Zohar is the message of tshuva. Adam and Chava sinned. But since they did tshuva, God made for them a beged of light, a spiritual garment of light to cover their spiritual nakedness. And then the Yalbishem, then he what? He lovingly and tenderly dressed them, which means he embraced and hugged them.
If Hashem wanted us to read it as Or, why didn't he put the aleph in the Torah in the beginning?
Then I'd be unemployed.
That's true.
Right? You want me to be unemployed?
Yeah.
What?
Okay, that's another problem.
What do you mean? No, if everything was written, then the rabbis would be out of business. No, you know that there's a Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebalpeh.
Right.
But you know that. The Torah Shebiksav is written as shorthand code.
But it could have been an aleph at the beginning. It didn't have to be an ayin.
It didn't. But then you wouldn't need me. No, I'm telling you, Panina. I'm not making a joke. I'm saying that the Torah Shebiksav is purposely written vaguely and written in shorthand code to teach there's another Torah out there.
Right.
And the Gemara in Gittin, page 60, says that the Ike Torah is a Torah Shebalpeh. So Panina's asking why. Why couldn't God write everything out? So the Gemara Gittin answers your question. Because the Torah is God's lovey-dovey love talk. When, you know, husband and wife have little names, cupcake, kuchi, you know, name, cupcake, honey, cupcake. We don't want every husband and wife, they don't want the whole world to know what we call each other. Come here, my little chickadee, my little cupcake. So the Gemara in Gittin, page 60, says that the oral Torah is the intimate love talk between him and us, between hubby, Kaviyachal, and us. And God doesn't want the whole world to know the intimate love talk. So therefore, he kept it oral. Because he doesn't want Billy Graham
right. And
the Papa, to know. Because that's the secret. Me and you and me, together we will. Gemara in Gittin says it, Alfie, that the Torah Shebaal-Peh is the intimate lovey-dovey talk between the lover and the lovee. And God doesn't want the rest of the world to know, and therefore he kept it oral. Problem was, a time came when we no longer were on that level and we couldn't remember. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi had no choice but to what?
Write it down.
Right.
And therefore, it's written down in such cryptic, bizarre language. That without a teacher, you still know what you're talking about. You have these fantastic stories in the Gemara about the giant Leviathan, this giant sea monsters, and Moshe Rabbeinu was 39 feet tall.
Wow.
It's not true. It's only allegory. It's written in such a way that without a teacher, you don't know what you're talking about anyway. So Rebbe had no choice but to write it down. But he wrote it down in such a fantastic, bizarre manner, in allegory, in parable, that without the teacher, student, the Torah Shabbat Peh, you still don't know what it says. Because the Iker Torah Shabbat Peh, that's the intimate, secret talk, the love talk between Kodesh Baruch and Am Yisrael. And therefore Hashem wanted it to be kept oral. Like two lovers don't want the world to know what they call each other, right? It's secret. So that's kosnas or, the jacket of light, the kosnas or, that spiritual light that clothed the nakedness of the neshama after they exposed to the sin. Fasten your seatbelts. The Ari HaKadosh says, Kol Nidrei night we put on a talus, right?
Yeah, you do.
Men put on a talus, right? Right, Avram? You put on a talus. Do you make a brach on the talus or not? What? The halacha says you should make a bracha. But the Ari HaKadosh says, al pi kabbalah, you don't make a bracha. Halachically, you do make a bracha. But kabbalistically, those people, kabbalistic, will not make a bracha because they follow the Ari Shita. Why don't you make a bracha? Because the Ari HaKadosh says the talus of Yom Kippur night is not your talus. It's the kosnas or. Yom Kippur night, we're all like Adam and Chava, we're doing tshuva. Our soul is exposed and naked, God lovingly. When we put on the talus, we are putting on His talus of light. Since it's not our talus, we don't make a bracha. God is wrapping us, embracing us, hugging us in that kosnas or of Adam and Chava that we get that tikkun on Kol Nidrei night.
So how
and therefore he says you don't make a bracha on the talus of Yom Kippur night.
Rabbi, shouldn't the women then have a talus just for that night?
Yeah, what happens with the women?
How come?
I mean, just for that.
That's the question. Women don't wear a talus and don't put on tefillin.
I understand.
Because the Rabbeinu Bachya explains again that we are much thicker. We're at much a lower level.
That's
so we need the physical symbols and tangible symbols to remind us of Him, to get close to Him.
Right.
Women on a much higher level, they are naturally bonded and close to Him. And they don't need the physical, tangible symbols of talus and tefillin and sukkah. Women don't need it. They're above it. It's also Rabbeinu Bachya, before the women's limit. He says, because the word mitzvah, the root in Hebrew is tzav. Tzav in Hebrew means to bond.
Then
look it up in the Hebrew dictionary.
Then why does Rashi?
He says that women are, Rabbeinu Bachya says that women are naturally bonded.
Right.
So they don't need all those mitzvot to bond them because they're naturally bonded.
Then why did,
and therefore,
Rashi's,
what?
Why did Rashi's daughters feel that they wanted to do tefillin and do?
Rashi's daughters wore tefillin. Okay.
I know.
But they didn't have to. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Okay.
Right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But
so the women of the wall are not always not completely wrong then.
Women off the wall?
They're off the wall, not completely wrong.
What?
I know him.
But you don't need it, Alan. If you don't need it, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I don't need it, but then I'm completely wrong with what you're saying. Rashi says, daughters of Rashi were, so why can't
they go off the wall? So if they should do everything Rashi's daughters did, then... Right?
Not everyone's at that level.
Right, yes.
Yaakov gave his son Yosef a multicolored coat, correct?
Right.
So, in that case, Why can't we paint our tefillin multicolors?
Because the oral Torah says it. Because the
like this.
What? Because the oral Torah says it's tefillin are black, not purple. It's oral Torah, right? How come wool and linen is usser? You know that you can wear a sweater of camel's wool and linen. Did you know that?
Because it's
good thing here today.
The camel's
wool and linen is completely kosher. The isser is only on lamb's wool.
Oh.
Why? It's a chok.
What about
why is camel's wool and linen sewn together okay? And the isser is only on what? On lamb's wool.
Not from a goat?
Lamb and goat.
Well, they're all related.
Lamb and goat. Why? Because it's a chok.
It's not.
It's a chok. It's what?
Because they worship the lamb.
What?
The lamb, worship the lamb.
The Rambam gives a reason. The Rambam, the Mor Nebuchim. Now here, does a reason for a mitzvah matter?
No.
Should it matter? The Rambam got in hot water when he wrote the Mor Nebuchim, and he says the reason why wool's linen, wool's lamb and linen is forbidden, and lamb and goats. And not camel, he says, because in the ancient world, the pagan priests, as part of their uniform to the Getchka, would be to wear a uniform sewn together with goat's hair or lamb's hair sewn together with linen, but not camel's hair. So therefore, the prohibition is only on what? No, not on camel. On lamb and sheep and goat.
But
the other Rishonim are very upset with him. Rambam, what are you saying? And if the pagans stop wearing that uniform for the Getchka, that means we're allowed to wear wool and linen?
No.
Of course not. So why did Rambam open up a Pandora's box? Just say it's a chok. It's a divine decree. God said it. By the Rambam, by giving reasons, a person can say the reason doesn't apply today. Uh-oh. That's what the deformed say. The deformed used the guy to perplex, and they twist it around. So the Rambam got in a lot of hot water. They burned the Mor Nebuchim, but in defense of the Rambam, it's called Mor Nebuchim. What does that mean? A guide for the troubled. He's writing for a target audience. He's not writing for Moch and Roni students or the Asper Shiva students, Baruch Hashem, or OU students. He's writing for people that are perplexed, that have problems in Amunah.
Right.
He says this in his Hakdama. He's writing for a target audience. That people that need, some people need reasons. He's not writing, this is the reason. The reason is because Hashem said so. But for the troubled, confused, perplexed people, I'll give you a reason. Because the pagans used to wear that as part of their uniform.
Were the Kohanim allowed to wear the next
dress? Yes. Excellent, Nechama. Tosfos in Tractate Yuma gives a reason. He came before the Rambam. He says the reason that we are not allowed to wear shatnas is because the Kohen on duty wore shatnas.
Okay.
The Kohen on duty wore shatnas. You hear this? The belt of the high of the regular priest and the ephod of the high priest and the choshen was shatnas, wool and linen.
Right.
So it says Tosfot, there's an iser to duplicate anything in the Migdash.
Oh. Okay.
So since the Kahanim wore shatnas on duty, therefore we can't do it.
Very good. I like that one.
And therefore the halacha is that after the Kohen finished his shift, he had to run to the locker and take off and put on his jeans. Because he's only allowed to wear the shatnas alfie on duty. So when his shift was over, he had to hightail it to the locker room and take off his big tekuna quickly. Because the heter to wear shatnas is only when you're doing the avoda. So Tosa says, since they wore shatnas on duty, so therefore we're not permitted to wear it because you're not allowed to duplicate anything in the Beis HaMikdash. Before you know it, Hanukkah is around the corner.
Yeah.
So let me tell you something amazing.
Oh.
How long was the miracle of Hanukkah? It was only 7 days. Because they already had enough oil for one day. So why is it 8 days? Says Rav Kook, there are at least 109 reasons for that. Rav Kook says something amazing, Penina. Why is Hanukkah 8 days? The miracle is only 7. Rav Kook says if Hanukkah was only 7 days, your candelabra would be how many pipes?
Seven.
You're not allowed to duplicate any of the utensils in the Mikdash. Says Rav Kook, therefore the rabbis had to make Hanukkah 8 days. So your candelabra should be what?
Eight.
You're not permitted to possess a candelabra of 7. You take a look in any of the religious stores, you will not find a menorah of 7. Only in Getchka stores, in Christian stores. No Jewish bookstore or tchotchke store sells a menorah of 7. There's a strict prohibition of possessing a menorah with 7 pipes. Why? Why? Because the Beis HaMikdash had 7. The one you have in the Temple Institute, that's waiting for the Mikdash. That's not for personal use. There's an issa to duplicate any utensil, Avram, for personal use. The menorah standing in that glass booth, that's not for personal use. That's waiting for the Mikdash. So Rav Kook says another reason why Hanukkah is 8 days, even though the miracle only lasted 7, is because you're not permitted. If you have a 7-day yontif, your candelabra would be 7. You're not permitted to have a candelabra of 7. So therefore, the rabbis made up the yontif what? 8. Why have an 8-day yontif for a 7-day miracle? The miracle only lasted 7 days. Remember, there was enough supply for 1 day. Okay, there's 109 other reasons. We'll get to them, Lee Nader. Okay, but this is one reason that fits in of Shattas, why the Kohanim, why you're not allowed to wear Shattas, you're not allowed to duplicate or possess or wear anything that the Kohanim had in the temple. Okay? But the Temple Institute, they made all of these, they have the big Kohanim too. Why is that okay? Because that's not for personal use. That's prepared exclusively for what? But build it and he will come. Verna, who said that? Build it and he will come.
Field of dreams.
You build it, you make the vessels of the temple, and he will come. So therefore, they're busy working on it, right? They already have the menorah, they have the beautiful big day kohuna, right? And they have the incense. You're not allowed to make incense for personal use.
Right.
But they made it not for personal use. That's prepared for the Beit HaMikdash, right? Interesting, right? Okay. Ela told us Noach, right? Noach, Ish Tzadik. It says, now keep in mind, there are no extra words in the Torah. There's exactly 304,805 letters of the Torah scroll. So look at Genesis 6, verse 9. What's strange, Penina, about that verse? Genesis 6, verse 9. There are no extra letters in the Torah. Look at Genesis 6, verse 9. What's strange about that? You want to read it in Hebrew, please? Ela told us Noach, no?
Go.
No?
Ela told us Noach, Noach, Ish Tzadik, Shavim Hayah, Bedorotav, Et HaElokim, Italech Noach.
What's strange about that verse? Noach is repeated 3 times.
Yeah.
Ela told us Noach, once. Noach, Ish Tzadik, Es Elohim, Es HaElech Noach. Why repeat the word Noach 3 times? That's a starke kash. Huh?
To get his name right.
To get his name right.
Maybe it's to lead into the Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
Noach repeated 3 times in the first verse? Very strange. So the Mepharshim say that every person in this world has 3 relationships. Between himself and God, between himself and his friends, and between himself and his family. Some people are very good between themselves and God. Some people are very good between themselves and their friends, but home they're never found, right? So Noach, written 3 times that he excelled. Bein Adam Lamokom, Bein Adam l'chavero, Bein Adam l'mi'ishto. Some people are very good to strangers. but they're never home, right? The famous story, a true story, this great Koilel guy got married, big learner. He got married. Very fancy wedding, the top guy in the yeshiva. A few weeks later, the Kala comes to the Rosh Yeshiva and says, my husband, he's learning all the time. I say, help me take out the garbage, help me with the dishes, help me with shopping. I'm too busy, I'm learning all the time. So Rosh Yeshiva says, what? I'll try to handle it. The next morning, bright and early, who rings the bell? Rosh Yeshiva rings the bell. So the tzaddik says, Rebbe, what I owe this great honor. So early in the morning, he comes to visit me. He says, I heard that you have no time to take out your garbage. I'm here to take out your garbage.
What a great lesson.
No time to take out the garbage. He's busy learning. So the rabbi came down to take out his garbage. Noach, Noach, Noach. You have to be good to God. You have to be good to your neighbor. But perhaps most important of all, you have to be good to your wife. Your wife and your family. Don't neglect them. So Noach excelled in all three relationships, and therefore his name is mentioned
three times.
Bein Adam l'makom, bein Adam l'chavero, bein Adam l'ishto. Some people running around doing favors for others. They're never home. The wife says, I need help with the kids. And they're running around doing chesed. It's good. But chesed begins where? At home. Chesed begins at home. What?
His name in three times. Is he the only one who got his name in three times?
Yes.
Was he the only one who excelled?
No, but he's the Wegweiser. How do you say the Wegweiser? Yeah. How do you say that in English? The Wegweiser. The Madrich.
He's the leader.
He showed the way to Abraham. He comes before Abraham as the Wegweiser. Right? So the Torah teaches us a lesson with him. Doesn't have to repeat it. Now he names his children Shem, Cham, Ve'Yefes. See, Pasuk 10? He names his children Shem, Cham, and Yefes. If you came just to hear this, we can go home. Why do I need to know what he called his children almost 5,000 years ago? Keep in mind that whatever is written in the Torah is only what I need to know for the year 2011. We're almost there.
Yeah.
Why do I need to know that Noach called his kids Shem, Cham, and Yefes? What's the message for us? Otherwise it wouldn't be Randy Ware. Because Shem, Cham, the Yefes is the tafkid of a Jew.
Noach,
what a shame. He wasn't Jewish, but the Torah is written for us. You're right, he wasn't Jewish. But the Torah is written for us. You admit to me?
Yeah.
Torah is written for us. So, Shem, Cham, and Yefes is that's what a Jew means in three words. What does Shem mean? To proclaim the name of God. Therefore, we're called Shemites. Why? We're not called Semites. We're called Shemites. Because we say the name of God. And the Arabs are also called Shemites. They also say Allah Akbar.
Right.
God is great. So we are called Shemites because the tafkid of a Jew is to proclaim the name of God. How does he? Cham the Yofi. You have to proclaim the name of God with warmth and beauty. You can proclaim the name of God and call the police Nazis and throw stones on a bus. That's also proclaiming the name of God. But that's not what Yefes. The tafkid of a Jew is shame. Cham the Yofi, proclaim the name of God with a varimkeit in a beautiful manner. Yofi, Yefes. You have to be a warm Jew, and Ike, you have to be a sweet Jew. Yofi, Yefes. What good is it proclaiming the name of God if the person is what? Mean. And if Abishina, and he tells the women, get to the back of the bus. You don't belong here. He should get to the back of the bus.
Exactly.
So he's doing shame, but he's not doing Cham the Yefes. Alfie, it's a package deal. You want to proclaim the name of God? You have to do it on a shining vague, in a beautiful way, in a sweet, warm way. Isn't that incredible? Shame Chom V'Yofes. That's the tafkid of a Jew. Otherwise, we wouldn't need to know what the kids are called. Shame Chom V'Yofi. Yefes is Yofi. You have to be a beautiful, sweet Jew, a kind Jew, not a broigis habisiner. That's not the way.
Is our language a Shemitic language?
A Shemitic.
We're
called Shem because we are proclaimed the name of God. Shem.
Yeah, but I'm saying Shem. The language, the name of our language.
Yes, Shemitic language, because we spoke the language of Shem. We spoke the Hebrew language, Shem. That was the language Noach taught. The other kids neglected it. Shem and Aver, we're called Aver, Ivri. So Rashi says the other kids of Aver neglected the Hebrew language, the Aver. Aver kept it. The other brothers didn't. So therefore, we Avram are Ivri. Because Avram kept the language and the religion of Grandpa Aver. The other grandchildren didn't. David's called Avram Ivri. He kept the language of Aver and the religion of Aver, unlike the other grandchildren that didn't. That's another. You're right. Two down, 68 to go. Another reason why he's called Avram Ivri. He was on one side, the whole world the other side. But the push-up shot is that he kept the religion and language of Grandpa Aver. So David's called Avram Ivri. And the other grandchildren neglected it.
And when we went to Egypt, we kept the Jewish names.
We kept the names and the language.
And the language.
Right? The even though we were Memtesh Shari Tuma, we didn't change our dress, we didn't change our language or our names. We kept our identity. Because the name of a person and his dress and his language, that testifies to what? His identity. Even though you're a sinner. But if you identify with the Jewish people, then God says, I can save you, even though you're a Memtesh Shari Tuma.
Really?
Once you give up your identity, there's nobody left to save anymore.
It says in the Torah that Paro changed Yosef's name.
To Tzafnas Paneah. You're right.
So why did Yosef agree to that?
That's a great...
Yosef should have been married to that.
Reuven is asking a Bumba Kasha, a Bumba from Bumba Land.
Paro gave him a Jewish name.
Bumba Land Kasha. Let's say he didn't have a choice. But this is Ashgacha Pratiyos, Reuven. Because when the brothers came down to Egypt, if he still had the name Yosef, they'd know. So Ashgacha Pratiyos led divine providence that Paro should call him Tutankhamen. So when the brothers come down to Egypt, Tutankhamen, Tafnas Paneach. If he would have retained his Hebrew name, the jig is up.
That's right.
The game is over. Joseph can't test them anymore. The cat's out of the bag. There's no way to test them if they still hate him or not. So therefore, the Farshim raised Reuven's Gatakasha. So divine providence ordained that Joseph would go through this name change through no fault of his own. Pharaoh decreed it in order that the brothers should be able to be tested.
Beautiful.
And Joseph would play the game with them, which he couldn't have done if he was called Yasala. Yasala, the game is over. Very good, Reuven. You have to come more often. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Shkaya, thank you.
About Sof?
Yeah, I saw that. That's not Chom V'Yofi. That's not Chom V'Yofi, right?
Why does he sell the incense?
That's not, no. You can sell incense. Wolf is not the 11.
No.
They're not allowed to sell that. They leave one out. Of course they leave one. Good to cash it. It's not the 11. You can't sell the 11 earth. Only for the
mingle.
When you buy, they leave one or two out.
Richie says my husband's going to get over.
That's how Ricky was.
Yeah, but see, that is why I feel. But because they can already do it.
Yeah, keep them away.
Yeah. And
thank you.
Rabbi.